When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Here are the facts. This is a two-part episode. We get into a lot of rabbit holes. Sometimes we spelunk a little bit deeper than we had originally reckoned, and this is one of those cases. So before you do anything else, if you have not listened to part one of Cannibals and Conspiracy, What Happened to Michael Rockefeller? Get thee to that episode and then join back with us because we have so much more strange stuff to explore.
Yes, but what you need to know for this episode, Michael Rockefeller, son of Nelson Rockefeller, of the line of Rockefellers from John D. Rockefeller, the Standard Oil guy.
The Rockefeller Rockefellers.
The one. He went missing in New Guinea after going on a trip on November 17th, 1961, and this whole episode, this whole series is about what happened to him.
And here's where the story stops being polite and starts getting real.
Actually, here's where it gets crazy. So let's look at some of these theories in depth. We've been talking about them. Let's laundry list them out and row through them. Drowning, okay, it makes sense, right? That miles long swim, that's tough, even if you have some improvised flotation. We talked about that. People don't want to necessarily hear stories about mundane deaths. They want something juicier, dare we say more exotic.
Well, it's also, you know, there was almost a need to find someone to blame. You know, I mean, people like the Rockefellers, to many in the United States, were like superheroes, and they didn't want to think that they were this vulnerable. And honestly, admirable, I guess, as Michael's path was, it's a little embarrassing, the idea of, like, you know, you died of drowning, you know, because your boat flipped over. It's you know what I mean? It doesn't have the same headline-grabbing cachet and also divisiveness as something like, was devoured by cannibals, these heathens, you know what I mean? Things like that.
Yeah, and that, by the way, was a conjecture. A pretty heavy conjecture, the possibility that he was in fact killed by local members of one of the communities, that he made it to shore, he got offshore, and somebody was not happy to find him, in their area. There's a journalist named Milt Macklin who, just a few years after this whole thing went down, I think 8 years after, he traveled out to the area because he had heard some rumors that he wanted to investigate. And he went on the same kind of treks that Michael and that documentary crew were going on, that Michael and Renee were going on. He did the whole retracing the steps thing, tried to go to several different places where Michael may have ended up to look for almost archaeological evidence that Michael had landed in a certain area.
Yeah, he did. And he was doing his level best also. I don't think he came in there with something performative, like a Geraldo Rivera, what's in the safe vibe. But he did want to see whether there was any sand to the various rumors and all the scuttlebutt that had been making the rounds. He also had been hearing something that the public loved, because it was quite salacious, the idea that Rockefeller had kind of faked his death and decided to start life anew, living with one of these communities, or in a way living above them. Again, the Heart of Darkness reference was brought up, was specifically brought up, and they would use the phrase, they would use phrases like he's living like a white god out there in the wild.
Was that book out? Yeah. Okay.
Heart of Darkness came out in 1899.
Oh, wow. I did not realize it was that old, I guess, because Apocalypse Now is modernized take on that story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And people are, there's a weird fascination, right, with a Curtsian figure. So it makes sense from a folklore perspective, but Macklin doesn't find this persuasive. He gets there, he's on the ground, and he's saying, I'm not finding evidence about this, but I am finding what he says is circumstantial evidence that Michael Rockefeller may have survived to the shore and been murdered.
Yeah. And as we know, circumstantial evidence doesn't hold up in court. So this is the guy taking a bit of a leap.
But what happened? Like, what's his theory?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we mentioned, this headhunting stuff and cannibalism, again, wasn't just like, I don't know that they would have been just seeking out people to sacrifice. It was part of a war ritual, like you were saying, Matt. It was like a cycle of kind of revenge against other tribes. Being that Rockefeller does not appear to be part of any tribe and does not look that way, I do wonder why they might have targeted him for something like this. But let's go on and see.
Well, what if the revenge was not against another tribe, but against the colonial powers, the Dutch, that were moving through the area?
He certainly looks like them. Mm-hmm. That's yeah, for all intents and purposes. That's right. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that, because these folks kind of live on the fringes of this colonialization. But it doesn't seem like at the time they were being heavily persecuted. But there was an awareness of this invading force threatening their way of life, right?
Yeah. So here's the logic. If Rockefeller made it to shore, if the jerry cans kept him afloat and buoyed enough to get there and still be alive, he would definitely be exhausted. It wouldn't be his best day, and he would have likely arrived in the area of the Otsjenep village, which we are mispronouncing, not native speakers. It's spelled Otsjanep.
Solid phonetic pronunciation, Ben. It's the best we can do.
You know, who needs drugs when you can get hooked on phonics, right? And in this, whatever, they got to me. The propaganda got to me. Anyway, in this community at the time, to the point that you were making, Matt, Noel, like this is a part of a larger cyclical thing. Retribution and then retribution for the retribution unto the first people and down to the end of history, right? And so this fits in with Macklin's understanding or his narrative, because he says, you know, it wasn't too long ago in 1958, a Dutch colonial patrol killed several leaders in this village. And so therefore, he says, it's possible that Rockefeller was murdered as a form of retribution. And I don't know about anybody else, but the first time I heard about this story, many younger days, I heard it presented as a fact. Like, you would read things that said, Michael Rockefeller got into this part of the world and they killed him and they ate him.
And it was presented, no questions, no real specifics of what happened past maybe the year, past 1961. When you heard about this story, how did you hear it presented?
This one's relatively new to me. I mean, I think I know it as a trope, kind of, like I said, with the Looney Tunes and all of that. But the specifics of the story are pretty new to me, Matt.
Yeah, I can't tell you where I heard about it, guys. I don't know if it was in a Britannica somewhere where I read about this as just a blurb, if it was one of these like Time Life books that had it as a cautionary tale kind of thing or a mystery. But I do remember it being stated, basically, this guy went there. He was fascinated with this stuff, but he was killed and he was eaten. And that day was just like, that's what it was. So be careful of cannibals.
Right. And again, Mocklin doesn't come back with proof of this, but is saying, this is what I heard. And there are several sources proposing similar things. There's a guy named Paul Tuohy who wrote a book called Rocky Goes West. And he says there was an entirely different, distinct search. He says the Rockefeller family hired a private investigator.
Well, and that's what I was asking about earlier, you know, with all of this press conference stuff that seemed like a lot of just bluster. Why didn't they go further? And I know there were search parties and stuff, but you'd think you'd find somebody who was like an expert, you know, who could infiltrate this part of the world. And so perhaps that did happen, according to this story anyway. And perhaps the family did get some evidence that their son was murdered. This private investigator, according to Rocky Goes West, came back to New York with some skulls that were supposedly from white men who had been murdered by the tribe.
Yeah. And if, you know, well, maybe somebody out there has heard anything further on this, but to date right now, I've not seen, I don't know if you guys have seen any official response from the Rockefellers about this. Like, did this actually happen? Is this real?
That's PR, man. I mean, why would they? It's not in their best interest to get embroiled in any of these kind of discussions. You know, like you said, Ben, families like this value privacy overall, you know?
Yeah. And imagine the waves of unwanted attention that would come through if you said something that was taken out of context, you know what I mean? Then the next headline is insert Rockefeller family member here says something terrible about dead relative.
Well, they're business people, you know?
That's a very good point.
That's damage control. I mean, you do not, why comment when you don't have to? Unless maybe the grieving mother just felt compelled to do so. You know what I mean? Or father. But they would probably be encouraged or counseled to not.
Well, and just to put the timeline out there, it's 1969 when Mocklin goes and does his exploration, right? Nelson Rockefeller, Michael's dad, becomes vice president in 1974 and is in office till 1977. So there's that period between governor and vice president, you know, when this stuff is going down. Well, wait, is it 1961 when Michael goes missing?
Yes.
Okay, so there's quite a bit that Nelson Rockefeller has to lose by bringing this back up, because as he's getting further and further into politics and deeper into the executive branch, you know, that's the kind of thing that you just don't want. You don't want to talk
it's
about
messy.
It.
It's messy.
If it's just your son. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is messed up, you guys, but if it's just your son that went missing and probably died, that is a story that can help to win the hearts and minds of anybody who might be a voter, right? Because it's so tragic, so horrifying to think about. It may provide in that voter sympathy for a candidate. And it's horrible to think about it in that cold manner, but it's true.
Sure.
But why then the refusal to play that card? Because of the cultural angle or because of the, you know,
I'm wondering, I don't know, guys. I would speculate that it has something to do with being embroiled in international politics with the Dutch government, with some of that stuff. I would imagine, you know, sending a PI over there to discover you know, the skull of your child and then bring it home and then never mention it might be a little weird, you know?
Yeah. History, the History Channel, which is not a perfect source, also claimed that the, or they appeared to support some of Tui's claims. They also claimed that the Rockefellers had a reward out for confirmation of what happened to their son to the tune of like $200,000 US or something, and that they paid the PI when he returned to New York. But again, grains of salt. There are still additional sources. There's a third source, the documentary Keep the River to Your Right. And in this documentary, there's an artist and anthropologist named, an AIDS activist as well, named Tobias Schneebaum. And Schneebaum says, Schneebaum has lived in this area. It's not just some guy who was working in LA and got pulled in to look like he had expertise. This guy is a real deal. He was living there. And he said, you know, I've spoken with members of this village and they told me that they found this guy, this kid, this 20-year-old Rockefeller on the riverside, and they eventually consumed him.
It does seem like something you'd share with the outsider journalist type fella.
It's a good question.
We saw him. We ate him. Next question.
We're going to pause here for a word from our sponsors and we'll return.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're back. Let's jump right back into the story of what happened to Michael Rockefeller.
When we talk about these narratives, we see that multiple people have brought forward some version of that story that they say they heard while they were in country. So Carl Hoffman, in 2014, he writes a book called Savage Harvest, A Tale of Cannibals, Colonialism, and Michael Rockefeller's Tragic Quest for Primitive Art.
Breath.
Right. Yeah. And he, Hoffman researches the disappearance extensively, and part of his research involves multiple visits to villages and communities in the area. And he says that he keeps hearing various iterations of the same story. People are telling him, look, Michael Rockefeller did make it to shore. Men from this village had a series of internal arguments. And then as a result of their conversations, they killed him.
That makes a bit more sense. Maybe they couldn't quite agree on what to do with him. And there became, that became a no pun intended, bone of contention. And then it led to execution.
Yeah. And it all stems back to that little piece we mentioned earlier where there were the colonial powers that came through and killed some members of that group. And then this was in some way retaliation for that.
Right. And Hoffman goes a step further along that cycle and says that after Rockefeller's murder or death, a cholera epidemic went through the area and community members believed that this was in turn retribution for killing Rockefeller. And then Hoffman also does something fascinating. Hoffman uncovers the correspondence of that priest we mentioned earlier, Cornelius Van Kessel.
Yeah, this is the missionary guy who actually goes through and knows a lot of the people, a lot of the Osmot people. And this guy asserts that warriors from that Otschenep village where Michael, you know, would have probably come on shore had he made it to shore, had actually killed and devoured Rockefeller. So it's this one guy who knew things, who can actually go around and actually talk to people at the time when Michael Rockefeller is being searched for, has written out that this is the story.
So we've got a couple of accounts then that seem relatively reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because, okay, so just imagine it this way. Van Kessel's part of the Catholic Church. Am I incorrect in that? I believe that is correct. He's a part of the Catholic Church. He has, there are other ministers who are kind of embedded within some of these tribes who also take some notes, right, and send information back to the Catholic Church that's there in, you know, in country, and then sends it back to the larger Catholic Church. Also, they're communicating with the Dutch government. That's at least according to the author here, Carl Hoffman, who was speaking in a BBC little one of those 3-minute blurb videos, right, in promotion for a book, and he's talking about how there were at least 2 pieces of correspondence from ministers that that stated pretty much unequivocally that Michael was killed and eaten by this tribe.
Yeah, yeah. This seems like hard confirmation, right? And then Hoffman goes further and says some Dutch colonial officials obtained not just a skull, but other bones that they thought belonged to Michael Rockefeller. And these were, you know, the next step would be to test these in some way, but they disappeared. The remains were gone before there was any kind of test or investigation, which means there was possibly a cover-up afoot, or perhaps just gross incompetence, but possibly a cover-up afoot. And the next question would be, why?
What if the PI got it?
What if the PI got it? Right. And what if the Rockefellers said, this is the personal closure we need, and we don't need to go public. We don't need to explain ourselves. Possible, again, but no proof. And there's another piece here, which you alluded to earlier, Matt, which is if there were a motivation on the Dutch side to cover this up, what would it be? Hoffman has an argument, and his argument is essentially that as the Netherlands was leaving the area, it was very important to them to make it seem as though they left it better, in a better state, as though their presence had improved it somehow.
PR once again. Yeah, for sure. Because this idea of civilizing people, you know, who were seen as others, like you said, Ben, that was sort of, you know, their goal, or at the very least their PR goal to make it seem like that was the case.
Yeah. And having one, you know, the child of one of the most prominent human beings on the planet killed and potentially eaten, it's probably not a good look for them
on your watch, right?
And then also, if you what do you do, how do you apply the legal system there, right? And would a, like, let's say it goes to European style court structure and then people are found guilty of murder and they're sentenced to death, how is that not seen as something that just is another part of this cycle? right? That triggers another reprisal and on and on and on. So how would they, and then also how would they navigate the sensitivities of a very powerful family in the United States? And Hoffman, again, does a lot of digging here. And there's a spot where Hoffman is talking, or a moment, I should say, where Hoffman's talking to a friend of the family, a close friend of Mary Rockefeller, the twin. And this person tells Hoffman, the family refuses to believe any version of the story beyond Michael's drowning.
Yeah. And that's, you know, may well be a PR line of its own, if we are to believe the skull story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, hold up. Let's take a quick break right here in the story and hear a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, guys, what's next?
Don't want to spoil the ending of Hoffman's book. If you're interested in this story, it's very much worth your time to pick up a copy. But there's this New York Times review about it, which you can read online as well. We got a quote here that doesn't entirely spoil Hoffman's experience, but I think it will at least give the vibe.
Yeah, toward the end of the book, from the New York Times review. Toward the end of the book, he ventures up the Owatah River, hoping to live within the community for a month and somehow elicit a confession. But Hoffman gets the cold shoulder and senses that the villagers are guarding a terrible secret, as he makes clear in this gripping book. Keeping the real story buried may have been the safest choice for everyone involved.
Yeah. The italics are ours there, which you can hear. In Noel's beautiful rendition of this, but that's still pretty powerful. And there's one quotation in particular that I think stands out to Hoffman and will stand out to readers of the book. That's still not the last theory, right? The one some of us have been waiting for. What if he didn't drown? What if he didn't get murderized? What if he joined a community in the area? And that's something that Leonard Nimoy talks about on In Search Of. Do we have the sound cue for that? We can't afford it. There we go. Leonard Nimoy talks about this. And they don't have proof. But then there's another piece of video footage that comes from a National Geographic photographer named Malcolm Kirk. Filmed this in the area in 1971. It is epic. It's like hundreds of people from these communities, and they're rowing as groups on their boats. And they've got weapons. They're shooting some ceremonial arrows and stuff. And it's I'm not sure of a better word than epic. It's a lot of people. It's a serious display of power from these communities. And if you look at the footage just for a second, for some folks, this footage alone is like a smoking gun that proves Rockefeller is alive. I don't know. So we're playing this footage. Could we describe it for our fellow conspiracy realists?
Absolutely. Let's do this. We are seeing a long line of what looks like boats or like small boats, you know, where there are people standing up, rowing the boats as they're standing. Okay, so they're zooming in now, and it's a still. Oh, my goodness.
Is that a white dude on the boat?
It looks like a Caucasian man with something on his head. He's got a beard. It looks a lot like Michael Rockefeller.
It's only a little bit of footage, but...
Whoa.
He joined them.
And to get away.
Is that the implication?
That's the implication. That's the theory.
And how much further could you go with that not wanting to be, you know, that silver spoon kind of, you know, person?
Yeah.
That's wild. And it makes a lot of sense. If he could even convince the people to allow him to be part of it, you know, can you imagine what it would take? This is like some Dances with Wolves right there, man.
I mean, but that's if the footage is true.
Oh, I know, but I love this as a story element.
Right, it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, the footage, I want to believe it.
The footage is real. It's whether or not
it's good
that
footage.
Figure
yeah.
is Michael Rockefeller, right?
Right. It's not a deep fake, but it could be a person with albinism, maybe.
Yeah, there are.
Oh, that's but the beard thing. They say like they don't wear beards.
I mean it's fascinating to me. And if I was going to go down that rabbit hole, I would say what had Michael Rockefeller at the age of 20 experienced living at that level of privilege, living within that family, right? Like what had he maybe experienced that made him want to escape it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, And he was only 23 at the time, right? And he was...
How much later was this footage taken?
This footage was taken in 1971. So it would have been 10 years.
Okay, 10 years.
So it would have been 33.
Yeah. And you know, this is that checks out. That clocks for the look of this fellow. He looks to be in his early to mid-30s. And living like that, would make a person's body change, you know? I mean, weathered, you know what I mean? Just living out in the elements like that. I mean, I'm chilled.
What if what really happened, guys, is the Rockefellers sent that PI down there and mm-hmm. the PI found Michael and tried to convince Michael to come back and he just said no. And no. His village, you know, the people in his village were like, you're not taking this guy.
Get out of here.
Here's some skulls.
Never come back.
This is our dude.
Yeah. Here's some skulls. Oh, you can take these
here's
back.
Here's a cover story.
Tell you your tell family them. That he's dead.
Oh.
Or that could have been from Michael himself. You know, I mean, he's like, this is like, talk about faking your own death. I mean, how else? The plot would have to be so elaborate for a person of that stature to be able to fake their own death. And you know what I mean? That's
to commit that pseudocide. That's tough. But I have this vision, you know, I think a lot of the Kurtzian thing, Apocalypse Now is so cool, but I think a lot of the Kurtzian Heart of Darkness stuff has a lot of problems.
Yeah.
That
it's being like white said, savior kind of stuff. 100%. You know?
Yeah. But that being said, I can't get it out of my head. This moment of like the guy looking up from the darkness behind a tree and going, there is no Michael.
Yes, only Zool.
Remember, Michael had this fascination with the tribe, and in particular with the wood carving, right? The Ozamot people. And like he he was so personally fascinated with it. If he did want to become a part of that group, what if he did just want to be, look, I am not in any way above you. I want to be with you at that level.
That makes more sense.
I want to, yeah. you know, join in, and what do I need to do? Can
that
I?
That person is just in the rowers, in the ranks of the rowers. He's not being carried on a freaking palanquin or whatever the hell those things right. are called. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's just among them and contributing to this team rowing effort. That's not what a white god would do. You know?
Right. And this goes like, so this is one of the fascinating sticking points of this story. Again, we ask you to check out the footage. It is one person definitely looks different from the rest. That's fair to say, but who is that person and why their appearance, you know, those are questions that have yet to be answered. There was no follow-up interview with this person. Nobody stopped the boat and said, okay, everybody, names and tell us what you're about. What's your thing? Were any one of you once upon a time from New York? You know what I mean? None of that. So this is this one moment, this one bright moment. If Michael Rockefeller was alive today in 2023, he would be 85 years old. And like Henry Kissinger, his birthday is in May. Mm. I don't know why I said that like that was wow. some big bookend. It's not.
Kissinger.
I don't want to leave this yet, you guys. I'm still trying to game it out because imagine you're Nelson Rockefeller. It's 1971. Okay. You know, you are a political figure now. Let's say you wanted to get your son back despite your son's wishes. So you
kidnap like, him back.
What,
right?
You would have to send a team in to somehow kidnap him, like get to that area, find him, get him, take him out of that area, and get him on a plane and send him home. Imagine what that scenario could trigger. That would be an international incident, right? Mm-hmm. Because even if they were mercenaries, they're probably ex, you know, U.S. military mercenaries, or you would hire, I don't know. Mercenaries within country, mercenaries from another neighboring country.
Or if they wanted to be really clever, hire members of a rival tribe to make it seem like a legitimate, revenge kidnapping or revenge killing or whatever. There's ways you could do it.
I imagine that you would do the calculus of that move and say, well, I can't, like, we can't.
No doubt.
You just got to let him be.
Yeah. There. That's the thing. We're imagining, and that's why this became a two part episode, folks. Because we wanted to spend the time on this. We didn't want to just blaze through the facts. There's so many threads to pull here. There's so many rabbit holes to go down, and we want to know your thoughts. What happened to Michael Rockefeller? Do you know? Can you tell us? Are you texting each other? Which of the theories that we've explored today do you think are most likely, and why? Is there some other intervening variable or piece of the story that needs to be addressed in further detail? Let us know.
And if it's not him, who's that white dude on the boat? I mean, that in and of itself, that is just, you know, that is fascinating because that guy's got to have a story.
You think it's definitely a white dude?
I do. With the way the beard looks and I mean, just the way it's so standout, and even the build is different. The build of the person's body is different.
That's why we saved the video for the end, right? Folks, do please watch this. We're very conscious this is an audio podcast, but yeah, watch the video, right? And like Noel was saying, tell us. Yeah.
Well, and get a hold of Savage Harvest if you can, because there's a lot of great information in there.
Yeah, it's a great read. And so you might be saying, well, how do I contact you? I think I've got some ideas and I want to get to you before you all disappear. Well, fortunately, right now, it's very easy. And we love to hear from you wherever you are in this big, big world of ours.
Let us hear from you. You can reach us on your social media flavor of choice. We are Conspiracy Stuff on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, where we have our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. Join your fellow conspiracy realists there for all kinds of riveting chat around this particular episode, perhaps. We are Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok, which we're doing some stuff on there. We're making moves for the Xennials.
check out our TikTok.
Give us a call, too. You can do that. 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname. We don't care what it is. You've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Just make sure to include whether or not we can use your voice and message on one of our listener mail episodes. Make a TikTok video of yourself leaving a voicemail on our system. That would be fun. I'm sure they would get lots and lots of spins on the old tiki-talkies.
Yeah, maybe it'll become a trend.
Yeah. If you don't want to do any of that stuff, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.